Okay. We have some contestants coming in. Hello. Not contestants, participants. You are not here to for a quiz today. You're here for a webinar. Thank you for coming. Today we're going to be talking about social media and online marketing. One of those topics that everyone knows a lot about, but hopefully we're going to get into some in-depth details today to really start to demystify some of the stuff that we all think we know, but maybe don't know the true details about. And just as people are sort of filtering in, I'm going to launch a poll just so we have some idea of who's in the audience today. So the question is just about, you know, if you're a artist, a maker, product-based maker, freelancer, this will help us sort of direct the conversation and maybe address each of your specific areas. And also, as you're doing this, please feel free to introduce yourself in the chat function. If you wiggle your mouse or if you're looking on your iPhone or smartphone, you should see a button that says chat. If you click on that, you can send out a chat to the entire audience that we have here today. You can just introduce yourself, you know, if you're an artist, include your Instagram handle. We also want this to be an opportunity for people to network while we're still inside and can't meet in person. The other function that we're going to be using today as we continue to wait for some more people to come in is the Q&A function. That you'll also see at the bottom of your screen. If you click into it, you'll be able to ask a question to the panelists. And then at the end of our discussion, we're going to leave about 30 minutes to actually directly address those questions. So put the stuff in there as you're hearing something that sort of piques your interest. If you have a really specific question to your business that you've been stuck on for months and you're not sure how to move forward, just pop it in there and we're going to try and get to all of them today. Okay, so current results of the poll, it looks like we have about 15 artists and artisan makers, which is great. I know, Sam, you deal a lot specifically with a lot of artists, so you'll have a lot of insight for them today. We have about 10 people who said they have a small business. So, again, if you want to introduce yourself, put your website link in there for your business so we can check it out. That would be really cool. 6 contract freelancers, got 2 product-based makers, and then 6 people who would like to start a small business. So try and network with those other people who have a small business. Okay, we still have some participants coming in today. I see some NextFab members in there. I'm Morris and Eric. Nice to see you. Very cool. Now we have someone from California. Happy you could join us today. And just to reiterate for people who are still coming in, today the topic is around social media and online marketing. We are going to try and generally cover that whole topic so you have an idea of where to move forward if you're thinking about, you know, online advertising or engaging with your audiences online. So if you have specific topics around that for your business, please put it into the Q&A, and we will hopefully get to this at the end. All right, now that we're at 105, I think we're going to get started and end the poll results. Thanks, everyone, for giving us a little bit of feedback and who we have here today. Okay, so my name is Anna Solomon. I am NextFab Sales Manager, and I have been running a four-part series on from making to selling specifically online. We've gone through four different topics previously, so starting with how to enhance your online presence, how to price and sell your work, how to deliver products and value to your customers. We got a lot of details into shipping in that one. And then we're ending today with how to add fuel to the fire with social media marketing, and hopefully getting your business really up and running. If you're curious about those other topics and you didn't get a chance to actually see them, we do have the recordings available. So you'll get the recording after this of this one, and just reach out to me and I can share those links with you. So like I said, last 30 minutes, we're going to be dedicating 30 minutes to specific questions from you. And then we're going to have 30 minutes of just a discussion around this topic, social media. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce our panelists. Thank you, Rebecca and Sam, for coming today. So here we have Sam Sinelli. Am I saying that correctly?
Sinelli.
Thank you. is the founder of Bad Town LLC, an independent label for visual artists in 2019 to help artists turn their hobbies into a business. Would you care to tell us a little bit about your background and why you started this business?
Yeah, so I got started because I noticed that a lot of artists, they didn't really have time to do the marketing, and they didn't want to. You know, I have a lot of friends that are artists, and they just wanted to paint or make their products, and they didn't really feel like getting into the whole business side of things. And then there's that the lack of time, and then maybe you don't necessarily know how to go about it. You shouldn't have to be a marketer to be able to be an artist. So I said, okay, I will help be that person for people who want to get started out. So basically what I do is I provide the marketing services, and then I'm also helping out now with production and legal and different things like that to help streamline the process.
Awesome. Thank you. And second on the panel today is someone I actually work with, Rebecca Ledbetter. She is our marketing manager at NextFab. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but for those of you who don't know, NextFab is a makerspace that's based in the Philadelphia region. So we have about 1,200 members that have some sort of business around making. So it could be artists, could be products. But Rebecca, could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah, I'm Rebecca, like Anna mentioned. Been with NextFab for a little bit over a year. I have about over seven years of experience working in the digital marketing sphere, online marketing, and a lot of social media marketing. So I've worked on national brands and then also smaller brands like small businesses and artists, and just kind of figuring out what social media works best for them.
Thank you. So we're going to move into our discussion. Again, 30 minutes of this, and as we're talking, please feel free to put your questions directly in the Q&A if something sparks your interest. So just to get started with this overall topic of social media and online marketing, a lot of it is actually just understanding the language and what it is. There are a lot of different options when approaching this. So just to start with the basic question of what are the different types of online marketing that are available to a small business? And how do you determine which one is right for you? Sam, if you want to go first, go ahead.
So I guess there's like seven basic types, I would say, of online marketing. You have your search engine optimization and your search engine marketing. So that, you know, is basically when someone goes on Google and they're looking for something to meet a need, they type in some sort of phrase into Google and you want to start to appeal to that. So if they're looking for abstract art, you want to make sure that that's listed out in your website. And then when it comes to search engine marketing, that's basically buying those keywords. That's a very simplified version of it. Then there's also content marketing. That's just providing some sort of value to people that are going to make them want to come back, whether it's blogging or creating videos, putting out some sort of content that people are going to want to keep seeing and generating relationships that way. you have influencer marketing, so going after like your Instagram influencers and your TikTok influencers to help them, they'll help you get your product name out there, you know, sending t-shirts or shoes, whatever it is, products to the influencers, getting them to make like mini commercials for you that kind of can seamlessly integrate into people's feeds. Then we have affiliate marketing, which is kind of similar, but it's more of a partnership. I'm sure some of you have had people get into your DMs on Instagram saying, you know, I love your photos. Why don't you be an ambassador for us? And then you'll make, you know, 20% on every sale if you post their photos and their links and stuff like that. So that's a good way to start building out a network. Then email marketing, which has been around for a very long time. And that's just, you know, your newsletters and sending out different email communications. And then lastly, it's social media. So there's organic and then there's the paid versions of social.
Mm-hmm. And just to piggyback off of that, so I 100% agree on all those, obviously. For the smaller, like, hey, if you're like a newer maker and you're like, wow, that sounds like a lot, it really is your website and putting on words you think people search for and having really great photos at the end of the day. So start with that. I would say, like, you know, it's like, oh, I don't have a blog, I don't have an email. That's completely fine. Just start making content. Decide like who you want to be online. Start with your product and decide who's my product speak to? Who do I see my product with? And from there, building the content and your audience and like how you want to present yourself is cake after that.
So how would you recommend, you know, there is, like I said, a lot of options. What would be some of the first steps to like getting to know who your audience is, getting to know what of these seven types really actually works for your business? You know, how would you recommend figuring that out?
Well, I would say actually kind of going off what you were just saying, Rebecca, the first thing is deciding who you are and who you want to be online. And that really comes down to like what makes you different. So you have to figure out with any product, what is the need that I'm meeting with this product and how am I doing it differently than anybody else that's out there? So to make your product valuable, you need to be doing something unique. So once you figure that out, then you can figure out who the people are that have that need and then start to see how you're going to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And that's how you can kind of go about which way you're going to strategize, because you're going to need to figure out where they are and how they receive content. Like if you're trying to go after Gen Xers, they're really big with emails. They actually check their emails and read them. So you would want to do maybe a marketing through email marketing with them. So you have to really know what your purpose is before you can really start to talk to people.
And also like research, like ask like friends and family too. Like, I mean, don't ask mom because she's gonna be like, I love all of your things. But maybe ask some friends and like, you know, throw it out on your social media. Be like, I'm trying to figure out like, would you buy this? Like, you know, ask questions, because you really won't know until you find out. And kind of set up a simple exercise for yourself. Like imagine who's holding your product. Like, are they, you know, an older person? Are they, you know, a Gen Xer? Are they, you know, really make that story to yourself. And then you'll realize kind of what makes your product different. Even just by creating the story or the like environment it's in.
I actually really like that. What I like to do is, create like a fake customer profile. Mm-hmm. So you take everything that you know about the people that you're selling to and you make an actual person. So you can like define their age and their interest and start to speak to them as if they're a specific person. Mm-hmm.
So I think part of this is, you know, figuring out what content and language works for these people that, you know, that person that you're describing. You know, is it about figuring out like what visuals they also respond to and what language they respond to? And how do you start to pair that with that imaginary person who hopefully is potentially actually one of your customers one day?
So what I like to do is kind of, I guess, appeal to the emotional side of things. So you want to figure out this need, like what's the emotion behind it that's driving their need for whatever the product is. and start to develop a strategy that way. But in terms of looking at your visuals and your messaging, there's a lot of testing that you can do. I know like Facebook does the A/B testing that I've been playing around with for a lot of my clients, and you can actually split it up. So run two different ads with two different headlines or two different photos and see what people respond to better. And you can make it more, you know, scientific and concrete than just kind of slapping things out there and seeing if it works.
And same with like Instagram and analytics. If you have a business Instagram or Facebook account, which I do encourage, if you are selling things, they have a lot of great features. You can tell like what posts work the best. And that's kind of just like a basic level. Like, all right, why did this work the best? Like, was the photo well lit? Like, what language did I use? And also, yeah, exactly. With language, I think you really have to be like, who am I talking to? You know, like, am I talking to my friends? Am I talking, you know, making it like super authentic too. A lot of these like solo makers or like these brands, it's really the maker. So it's like, how would you talk? And from there, I think that's a good place to start. And then you can kind of start figuring out, all right, this type of language works. All right, I want it to sound like this. This is how I think it's being perceived. And just kind of grow from it.
So sort of piggyback off of this, you know, some of the things we've covered in previous topics is about consistency and showing up. So I hear from both of you, like, just start practicing, start testing, and that's really the only way you'll know if it's working. How do you keep that content fresh, consistent, and available to those, to your audience, and making sure that it sticks in that same voice and it's reaching the right people?
Well, you have to be very intentional when you're going about it. So I think a lot of people, when they're trying to get content up, they tend to scramble just to get something up every day, and they end up throwing things out there that maybe don't fit their brand, or even like the caption might be like off. Mm-hmm. And it starts to kind of like distract from your overall message. So whatever you're doing, just make sure that it all ties back to your goal. So like the first thing that you really want to do is set a goal for why you're even on the platform. So like, are you trying to actually get direct sales? Is that your main goal? I mean, your overall objective obviously is to increase your sales, but are you, you know, trying to inform people? Is it something where you're using social media to like show the process and build trust? Mm-hmm. So then make sure that everything fits that. And you also want to get a look down. So make sure everything kind of goes along with your same look. So what I would kind of do is maybe once a month, you know, sit down and create content for the whole month and schedule it. There's a lot of great platforms out there that can help you schedule things so you don't have to go on and do it every single day. And then you can make room in the schedule for spontaneity. So say like something starts trending and you want to jump on it. Don't make your schedule so rigid that you wouldn't be able to move it. So just have that there kind of in place to make sure that you have something going out all the time. And that way it's cool too, because you can look at what you have scheduled and see that it flows and see that it fits and start to create that look and feel.
I would 100%, sorry. I would 100% agree with you, Sam. Exactly. You do it as a business person, you're always setting goals for yourself. So why wouldn't you do it with your social media as well? I sometimes get the feedback, well, everyone's posting on social media. In order for me to stand out, I need to be on social media. Which is great, but again, what are your goals for it? Who are you on social media? And yes, some great scheduling tools, which we can also, I can shoot this out to people as well. Hootsuite has a great free platform later, which is for Instagram only, but also great free platform. Buffer, also great. These are all free tools you can use to schedule out your social media posts. And yeah, be really intentional, be really authentic, and like, find what your goal is, and have well-lit photos and like all of that. find out what your goal is, and, you know, put a number to it and, you know, stick with it.
So, yeah, I heard you mention sort of creating a schedule for yourself. I know, Sam, you've worked with some small businesses directly, like as a consultant and sort of helping them fit it into their schedule, how much time do you recommend someone allot for something like this?
I guess it depends on the person, obviously. Like, if you're using Instagram as your main channel of selling, then you want to put all, like, a lot of time into it. But if you're doing it just as a way to kind of have something for somebody to see to give you a little bit more credibility, but you're not, like, really using it as a channel for sales, then maybe just do something that's, you know, a couple hours a week or so. But, yeah, I mean, it does get a little overwhelming, so you want to make sure that whatever you're doing, just make sure that it ties back to that goal. So, I don't know. What I tend to do is in the beginning of the month when I do the content creating, that's when I'll spend maybe like 2 or 3 days in the beginning of the month just getting everything together and getting it scheduled and making sure the look and feel is down. So maybe I would say a couple days a month in terms of actually creating it and getting it up there. And then the rest of the time, you want to be on the apps engaging. So that's important too. So like just every day, maybe go on for like a little bit of time, maybe like an hour or so, and talk to people, like things, make sure you're checking your comments and stuff like that, and like responding within a day. So definitely it's going to be kind of a lot of work, but a lot of time commitment to really make it work. But I also recommend only picking one platform and completely dominating it. So that way you're not spreading yourself super thin, trying to build a million followers on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. You know, you're going to kill yourself trying to do that. So pick one and just rule it.
Yeah. And just to add to everything you said, I agree. And the other big thing with social media, there's no like magic formula. Like there's not like, when you see people have millions of followers, it's like, there's not one thing they're doing. They're doing all of this and they're doing it in their own way. So there are different ways you can approach and do social media well. Yes, it is a, you know, putting a couple hours into your social media at the beginning of the month, have fun with it and be excited. This is your product. This is like your business. I know some of these pieces may seem a little monotonous, but find like what part excites you and like really dive into that. You'll be really authentic. Your viewers will love that. And you'll be happier for it. I would also say focus on one platform. Instagram, I think, is just so great for the makers and artists because it's so visual and so many people are on and engaging. Exactly. Don't spread yourself too thin, but you can also, other people find value in doing that, like finding a lot of content if you have it and putting it on all the social media platforms. So, like, you know, there's different ways to do it, but, you know, find the niche and the part that works for you.
So one of the things I hear frequently is trying to be authentic versus, you know, trying to get exponential growth. You know, how do you make sure that you stay authentic and you're getting that organic growth? And when is it time to sort of say, maybe I need to kick it up a notch and go into things like SEO or things you would actually pay for?
So when it comes to these platforms now, they are turning into kind of a pay-to-play. So it's getting very difficult to get organic reach. So when you're thinking about that, like, you know, you want to start to – I think once you have your brand down and you know that you're going to be driving people to a page that has a consistent message and a consistent look, that they're going to go to it and know, okay, this is who this person is. Once you have that ready and you feel confident about it, then you can start paying to start to bring more people in, because you don't want to waste your money bringing them somewhere that looks confusing because they're going to bounce. So once you're confident, I would say, then it's time.
Yeah. And also when you have a goal, like when, I don't want to just pour like Facebook ad dollars into getting you to my website if like the sales process isn't there, or I'd rather like, you know, have a goal. Like if I'm going to be at an event and I'm selling something, I'm definitely going to put some money behind that because I know that can lead to a sale. So just kind of like walking your brain through that process of like, if I do this, then I should get this reciprocated back. And with authenticity, we talk about all the time with social media. You know, just think about what would I say to someone, not what do I think someone wants to hear. Once you do that, like I say, whenever I'm posting for a client on social media, it's not my voice, it's my brand's or my company's voice. So I want to make sure that that comes across as if it is the brand talking to whoever I've decided I want to talk to, the makers, the artist, a friend. So just even having that visual in your head as you're writing out these posts or the content you're posting really helps.
That's really important too. And like, you know, if you try to force it, it's going to be very cringy. You know, I've seen a lot of people try to just jump onto trending tags and put content out there just because it's popular, but mm-hmm. you can tell that that's not who they are. So it's really like off-putting to do things like that. Mm-hmm.
So we have about 4 minutes before we're going to switch gears to Q&A from the audience, and thank you for putting stuff in there already. If you have questions, now's the time to start putting them in there so you can try and get to all of them. But the last question I'll ask is, if you are completely new to this, what are the top 3 things that you'd recommend prioritizing as you're getting started?
So I would say first, obviously, figure out your need that you're meeting and your purpose, because that's going to drive your entire messaging strategy and who you're talking to. Mm-hmm. So find your need, find your purpose, and then start to define your audience. And you can do that if you're brand new. Just look at your competitors, really is a really good way to start that off, see who's buying from them, and then do some Google research even just to see more general things like, you know, what age tends to buy my type of product and, you know, how are they consuming it and start to collect your data. So data collection, and then once you have that, you make your plan. So you set your goals and then you make your intentional plan for how are you going to target people? How are you going to get in front of them? And then from there, you implement and you iterate. So having the plan should also be loose enough where you make the plan and then you learn as you go, because mm-hmm. you're going to make some assumptions and they might be off base. Yeah. So as you start to collect more data and test things and learn, you want to be able to adapt and change your direction. Mm-hmm. So always leave that open. But I think a big key part in all of it is collecting that information and making sure you can analyze all of the information that you're getting and use that to drive how you're going to talk to people. So it has to be very intentional and planned out and strategic, not just kind of like, let me throw things out there.
Yeah. So I'd agree with all of that, especially when you're first starting out, like, again, decide why you're doing it, you know, write your mission statement, even if it's just for you, so that everything that you do is like, well, does that answer my mission statement? No, then it's not in the plan anymore. Once you kind of have your plan, you're starting to implement it, make sure everything's optimized. There's been a lot of Instagram profiles I see, they don't have a website link. Throw that website link in there. You know, make sure it's all there, it all makes sense. And also make sure there's no barriers to your sale. You know, a lot of us are trying to sell things. It's from making to selling, what's the webinar series is all about. Make sure there's no barriers. So like, no broken links. Like, is there an easy way for someone to see a product and then purchase the product? Don't assume people are like, well, obviously they would DM me and then buy the product. even if it's something super simple, Instagram and Facebook now have some great new features. I haven't done a ton of research on them, but there's Facebook shops and Instagram shops. So they make it super simple to buy right on the platform. Instagram has an integration with Shopify. So they have it all right there. I don't think it should be like a long-term solution, but like, when you're trying to get started and sell products and get that churn in, there's a ton of great features. And, you know, all the platforms I previously mentioned, they all have great blogs with a bunch of features and, like, how-tos. And even just Googling how to get started with Instagram, how to get, you know, it'll tell you some great things.
So turning to the questions, just as I am reviewing some of them, we have a ton around advice about buying ads on Facebook and Instagram to get results. Just as I am reviewing, that's our first question. is around this. I just want to check to see if we have any others. For Facebook, how would you spend money advertising for pages or engagement on posts? Mm-hmm. Should I invest in Instagram paid advertising if I'm just starting? I'm a painter. So we have a few of these, which if you put these questions in, I'm going to mark that we're answering them live, and we're going to try and cover that whole topic.
So yeah, I can start advertising dollars. I think when you're first starting out, I would say probably not. Like, you want to put the money towards, like, optimizing your account, you know, setting up your website, maybe getting some good photos taken. So that's kind of where you want your marketing budget to go towards when you're starting out. As that really starts to, like, ramp up and you're starting to get online sales and you are getting maybe some organic traffic, that's where you kind of just have to decide for yourself, again, what are my goals? What am I trying to get out of this? And being really realistic with those goals. It is pretty busy on social media, even with paid stuff being pushed out there. I would just say, like, do your research and figure out how, if I put this much money into it, what's the formula? Like, how many impressions am I going to get? How much engagement? And what I'm trying to do. I don't think the realistic goal is I put these ads out, therefore I'll get sales. It's a lot of things you have to do to get sales, especially nowadays, including some offline stuff like going to craft fairs, pushing out, like, you know, sales, doing some sales call, going to consignment stores, that kind of thing. So I think it's just being realistic and just, I don't think it's a bad idea to put some ads out there. I don't know, Sam, you might have some more thoughts with that.
Well, I like what you're saying about waiting, because you can also start to build that a little bit of an organic following first, mm-hmm. by meeting people at craft fairs that really liked your work and they want to follow you, and being out there and networking. And then Facebook has a tool with retargeting campaigns. So then you can start to target people that follow your page and people who look like them. So you do these things called lookalike audiences. And that way you're building this organic network of people that you know like you, and you can start to go after the people that are like them. And it's like more of a way to efficiently target, rather than in the beginning when you're still unsure, you're probably going to be putting things out there and it's not going to be hitting the right people because you're not really sure what you're doing yet. So it gives it a better bang for your buck, really, if you're going to already have those people kind of on hand.
And so I was going to say, if you do decide you want to do like an Instagram or Facebook campaign, their platforms are really great. So you can do all your Instagram campaigns straight from Facebook ads and just like, you know, turn them on through there. But what you kind of need for it, like Sam said, you need an audience. A lookalike audience is great because you can just dump in a bunch of email addresses and Facebook will just be like, think about it and be like, well, this person is kind of like that, so we'll target towards them. You need some really good images and videos. Videos work so well on social media, whether it's a GIF, a short little process video. And then figure out, again, the A-B testing, like Sam said, you can do a bunch of different, call to actions and like headings. So just test all of it out and put some minor dollars towards it, you know, a couple bucks a day, run it for a month or two, that kind of thing.
Just to ask like more specific questions about like generating ads in general. So the thing you're talking about, is that on Facebook, is that a business account that you would need to set up, like a business page?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the second question is there like a best practice in, you know, should your ad only have like one line of text? Should it include a person? Should it have a product on it? You know, what are some of those best practices when trying to get those images? Should you hire a photographer for a day to come in and actually take those pictures if you don't think that's one of your strong suits?
Yeah, I would say definitely, like, you know, as with any best business practice, freelance what you don't know, like, outsource it. There, especially, like, in the Philly areas, but in a lot of areas, there's, you know, freelance photographers, there's students, there's, you know, just ask around. So if someone that knows it, the great thing is also smartphones are great for taking photos, especially new ones. So best practices from what I found with, like, the maker community and in general, people in photos always get way more engagement. I don't know why, unless it's like a product that's like well lit that you're trying to sell. but even someone holding up a product will perform better. Throw it in a GIF, it'll perform better. And yes, you would have to do a business Facebook page and just switch it on over, which, again, has great features for if you're running a small business. So I always encourage it.
Yeah, definitely. People have worked in my experience too, and that's generally what they say. Best practices for headlines on the shorter side, something that's really going to give it like something interesting to draw people in. And then we talked about call to actions, and that's really important. So you're putting your ad out there and they see this lovely photo and they're reading your headline and they're in, but then it's like, okay, well now what? So make sure that you always have some sort of call to action. What do you want them to do next?
Mm-hmm. And a call to action, could that be like a link or is it an email? It could be any of those.
Yeah, so they have like some preset ones, which is like learn more or shop now. So Facebook comes up with them, but you can also customize. But you always want to include some sort of like link back somewhere else to your own site.
Okay. And
make it, again, with the like when you're selling something, make it obvious. Like say like click here. Like it seems silly to me. Like be like, of course there's a hyperlink here. What else would I want them to do but to click there? Tell them to click there. You get such a better performance when you like link them.
An action verb.
Yeah, just be click here, sign up here, learn more here, you know, right here, neon arrows, buy from me.
Yes. I have one more question on this topic. If I have a personal Facebook page, can you associate a business account with your personal Facebook page? Or do you have to set up a new account on Facebook?
So, like, do you mean, I think I know what you mean. So if you have your personal, you can convert, like, set up a business account, like an ads manager through your personal Facebook and then manage your page from your personal. Yeah, you can do that.
Okay.
But you still do need that ad account.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
The next topic we have, I see some people asked, is about social media influencers. How do you seek out an influencer? Is it essential to seek out an influencer? And like, when do you know if that is going to be something that works for your business?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's essential for everybody, but if this person is somebody who's going to speak to the people that you need to talk to as well, then yeah, that could be something. But you have to also make sure, again, what your goal is with it, you know, like, are you trying to get them to just like wear a t-shirt in one of their videos that you made? Like what's going to come from that? So always like, what is your goal? And a lot of them usually already have ways to contact them. So the influencers, like they've been doing this. So they make it easy to be sought out because they want to be paid and they want to provide this service for people. So yeah, you get them on the platforms that they're on, essentially. They should have like links in their bio and everything like that.
Yeah, and just to reiterate that, I don't know if we've mentioned setting up goals, but I think it's really important to be setting up some goals for whatever what you're trying to do. And also make sure those influencers like line up with what you're trying to do. If the product's like so out, you know, so different, it won't make sense and confuse branding and generally not be great. But yeah, just make sure it's in line with what, you know, what you're trying to do too. And also, you know, I start local too. I think that's a lot of people really resonate with what's local. So like, even if you're in like a small town, even just reaching out to that person for a networking opportunity, would be super helpful. But people tend to like, you know, gravitate towards what they know and saying like, I'm a Philly local person, like versus I'm an artist. Like it just these kind of opportunities are really great.
I was going to say, you do want to be a little careful when you're doing influencer marketing and make sure you vet these people properly too. So just because they have a huge following does not mean that they are a great person. So look at all of their content and kind of dig into it because you don't want to hitch onto somebody who's going to end up, you know, in the media for saying something horrible or doing something. So just be careful when you're starting to associate yourself with anybody, whether it's an influencer or another company, you know, make sure that everything is properly vetted.
one of the things I was also associated in my mind to this is Instagram contests. Is this something that you could use sort of instead of influencer marketing, or as a test to see if influencer marketing would work for you? I don't know if you would associate them in your mind.
I would think it's more of like an ad, if anything, like as an opportunity to get followers or like see who's out there. I think giveaways are great. Not to sound like a broken record, as long as there's a goal in mind, even if it's like getting someone to a new product, is it getting someone to your new website? You know, yes, followers are great, but it's like, why, you know, make sure it's also a consistent kind of thing. So it's like, if I'm running a contest to bring in new followers, making sure I'm now posting consistently for those new followers. Mm-hmm. Would be my thing. Instagram makes it super easy too. Like, they have a few rules and then you can post away.
So we have a few questions about best customer data sources for marketing information, and then a few other ones also about platforms for data. I remember you mentioned that Google Analytics is a really good one. But would you be able to sort of talk through some of those different sources that you can find, like a customer list for, or get something like a lookalike audience started and see the results from?
So the platforms themselves, the social media platforms, if you're just starting out, they have really good analytics. So you'll be able to go into the back end of your Facebook and it'll tell you like exactly who's looking for things. There's a lot of different ways to do it. Hootsuite has good analytics as well. But I think Google Analytics is the best way to kind of get it all together in one place. Because you can link out to a bunch of different things and it all kind of comes into one place and you can sort through it. Another thing I like to do is like using Bitly if you don't want to go all in on analytics. You shorten your links and then anybody who clicks it, it tracks them. So that way you know who's clicking your links and you can start to look at where your traffic sources are and everything like that. But for the beginning, I would say just kind of start looking at the platform analytics that are offered to you.
So just saying they set up a lot of the things that you would be looking for. You don't really have to define the parameters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they should kind of give you like an age breakdown and all your demographics. And what's great about Facebook too is like they break down all the interests as well.
Yeah.
Have either of you worked with getting lists from like large marketing firms? I know there's certain marketing firms that will say like, I'll give you a list of people who have bought a house in the last, you know, year.
Mm-hmm.
When is it good to use those?
I've never personally bought the list. I have worked in the past doing email lists that were bought. And they're good. I mean, you do get some people who are like, oh, this is actually pretty relevant to me. I do notice that they have higher unsubscribe rates because a lot of people get them in their inbox and they're like, I didn't sign up for this. But it could be a good way to kind of get started and start to like build more people that are coming over to you.
Yeah, I've same kind of results. I've bought them for companies. They same thing. It's like what do you want out of it? Like it would be great to have like a great email subscriber, but is it as authentic as you want? Is it on as brand as you want? Is it as local as you want? So I think it's just like, you know, and everything we're talking about, it's not like it's a switch you can turn on. These things will take months, even years, to like really build up and get a like really automated kind of process, which is fine. That's like how it works. You know, I think it's just start trying to, you know, set up on your website a pop-up that collects email addresses. You know, if you're at a craft fair, hey, here's my newsletter, sign up, throw your name on it, you know. Things like that to like start to, I would rather kind of do that. Again, if you do want to buy those lists, it's fine. Like I think, you know, like I said, we have bought them before. I would just say, like, try and do it local. Try and stick with a local company just to start and try and, you know, really find your niche with it. Who's your audience? And make sure it's really focused on that.
Are there any email newsletter services that you would recommend under $100?
To get emails or, like a
services
mail?
To send emails.
So, yeah, there's a couple free ones. MailChimp is pretty good, and I actually just switched over to HubSpot. So I've been liking HubSpot a lot. And you can, you know, build your lists and create your newsletters and send them, schedule them out, and it's all free.
Yeah, I will also hop on the HubSpot train. We also use HubSpot as well. It's, like, it's great because it will automate things a lot for you, too. The other one that I really like, in addition to MailChimp, which is also a good one, is something called MyEmma. It's good for, like, multi-locations. I'm not sure of the pricing, but it does have a really great interface that I would recommend.
I will also say, just from working with, I also work with HubSpot, a lot of these really large companies like Salesforce actually have some type of free version or limited version for small businesses. So just because they're a well-known name and, you know, you probably think the price point is really high, like, you're one of their first customers. You know, they want to help you grow your business, so maybe one day they would grow into a larger account. So they have these really great services that are at a low cost. Okay, we have can uniquely, let's see, version of a similar product. We have a lot of people who are asking about, you know, how do you sort of differentiate yourself from the competition? We talked about this in detail a little bit before, but, you know, there's some people, for example, someone's been running a footwear business online. Instagram following has been difficult. What can I do differently? I've been reading online about social media marketing and implemented some of the things, but have found that my followers still haven't improved much. Mm-hmm. And then just a few other people are also talking about, how do you find that niche if your thing is a really niche product? How do you sort of pull it out from the competition and create that unique value?
I think you just, I think it's just a lot of, like, again, that storytelling, like, who is, you know, who is using my product. I'll kind of use an example. I had a member who had asked me about kind of a similar question. He makes these really great wooden Adirondack chairs, which you do see those, you know, you see them. People are building them, people are selling them. He's like, I've just been posting the images, and I'm like, this is great what you're doing. But, you know, why don't you have someone sitting in them? You know, is it a family that's sitting in these chairs? And it's not just the chairs. It's like, what brand? It's like, not, you know, you guys are out, you know, you're outdoors. You're always outdoors. It's in the sun. What about if you, like, posted some drink recipes, some cool summer drink recipes sitting on your chair? So just kind of expanding, like, it's not just about the product, but, like, where your product is, what is associated with it, you know, who's in it.
And you can also show, like, the process, too. People like to see that. So behind-the-scenes type things. I know with my one client that's a woodworker, the epoxy pours. People love watching the epoxy pours. Mm-hmm. So just, like, giving them a little bit of a look into you, because essentially you have what differentiates your product, but also you are something that is different. Like, the way that you view things and humanizing your brand is a big thing too. So it starts to have people connect with you a little better if they know who you are. So get yourself out there. And if, you know, a lot of people aren't comfortable in front of the camera, but you can show, you know, going through your process.
Mm. Yeah. And just to, you know, the question with the sneaker specifically, I guess just to kind of piggyback what you're saying, you know, show yourself in the sneakers, or, like, show your friends, or show, like, something very local-esque with your shoes. It's like, people want to buy from that. And it sounds like you're doing the right things. You're researching, you're implementing. Just keep at it. Again, these things, like, you know, unfortunately they take time, and because there is so much competition, but if you're authentic and you're putting the work in, you'll see the results for sure.
And I know I am not a panelist, but my background, or I went to school for entrepreneurship. So I would also recommend going and looking at some like entrepreneurship resources about writing a value proposition. Mm-hmm. You can go to something like they have the business model canvas is something that's become really popular in the last couple of years. And there are a ton of videos out there about, you know, how to, have a one sentence about what that need you are serving. Like, how are you addressing that problem? And there's tons of adjectives and things that you can see examples of people working through that framework. So mm-hmm. I would recommend that too. Right. One of the questions on here is, should you post content on different platforms, same content on different platforms? Can you use the same pictures? Should you change the language?
I would change the language a bit because each platform has its own function. So if you are going to recycle, I mean, ideally you would want to kind of have something different for everything that all connects. Like, you know, if I'm going to put something on Instagram and Facebook, I want it to kind of be the same theme, but be different and tailored to each platform. But you have to be realistic with how much time you have. So if you have to kind of push one thing through, then you want to make sure that the language speaks to whoever's on that platform. You might have crossover in your followers, but they're not going to Facebook for the same reason they're going to Instagram. So you need to kind of keep that in mind when you're doing your captions and even when you're picking what you're going to put up.
Yeah, and who your audience is too. You know, what engagement you want from them. So it might be people tend to like be a little bit more engaging on Instagram versus maybe like a Facebook. So if it's like, you're looking for engagement, maybe you want to make that super clear with your Instagram posts. Again, yes, it's hard because content is hard to, you know, a lot of content for, it seems like a lot of work. But yeah, I say like reuse the images, but make sure they're resized properly. You know, programs like Canva are really great. Photoshop, you know, you do have to pay for that, but Canva's great. You can just plop it in there and resize it really quickly, even if you don't have a graphic design background.
Mm-hmm. So if someone, I have another question that's similar. Can you have two separate Instagram accounts, such as a personal and business, then promote your products on your business account? You know, is that good practice? Is it good to keep those two sort of voices separate? I also saw the same question of if you have the personal Facebook account and business account with the same name, is that going to confuse people? How would you navigate that?
I like to keep it separate. I think with artists, sometimes it doesn't necessarily need to be because you do want to keep that human element, but you also like, I like to keep it separate because I don't want to always be on brand on my own personal account. Like sometimes I want to put up a picture of my baby and, you know, it doesn't necessarily hit with the followers that are following me because they want to see, you know, high-end cutting boards. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be posting things that are personal, like that, you know, maybe your family would want to see, it's not going to be the same thing that your followers are going to want to see. Mm-hmm. So that's why it is kind of beneficial to keep it separate. In terms of the same name, maybe put like your name, art after it, just to give it one word so you know one's a business page and one's a personal page. And then you have to be ready, like, do you want people to see into what you're doing every day and, you know, all the inner workings of your personal life? You know, you can try to keep that a little separate. So, you know, when you're letting people onto the page that's your personal page, you're letting them into everything. So, you know, it could be good to kind of keep things on either end there.
I would agree. Keep them separate. You won't want to be, yeah, exactly. You don't want to be on all the time. You don't want to be preventing from, like, this is who I am. Like, but that doesn't mean don't add personal touches to your business. Like, that's what people really love to see. But you can be selective with what they see, you know, what they're seeing.
So next question is about, or set of questions is about hiring freelancers or people to help supplement areas where you don't necessarily have a background in. We have one question about, should I leverage ghostwriting for my content strategy, or should I hire a part-time content writer? And then the next question that I paired with this is, I'm excited about my business and lack of marketing knowledge overall. How would marketing services / coaches, how much would it cost? Something I'd like to invest in and not make mistakes. So what's your recommendations about hiring people to help?
So that's actually what I do. I have the the artist agency. So I provide marketing services. In terms of pricing it out, I kind of break it down by tier. So it's based on your needs. I don't just kind of give a blanket, here's what I offer. So the process is kind of okay, we're going to sit down, we're going to figure out what you need. And then once you have that, then you give a flat rate, or I do another thing where I do commission, where if you sign with me, then I get percentage of sales. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you have to kind of look at the marketing people that you want to hire, look into their background, see the different campaigns that they've run and see if you like what they're doing. And then I would definitely, if you have the lack of time, a lack of understanding, or you just kind of need something to help kick you off, then hire somebody. You can even do it for a short term. It doesn't have to be, oh, I signed with this marketing agency and now I'm stuck. Yeah. It's just, I need it for one campaign. I need it for one event that I'm doing or whatever it is, just definitely ask for help when you need it.
Yeah. And if you don't go with Sam, ask around, friends, family, see who does what. Just remember, with anything, you're going to get back what you put in. So, if it is a family friend, which is great, and they don't charge much, just, being realistic with it and, do your research, figure out, tell them exactly, decide what you need and what, you might need some help with, and just make that, this is what I want. I want a website. I want so many photos for my, social media campaign. I want this. And then, research, figure out who does that and, hire them for a couple of hours. As far as content writing, ghostwriting, test it out, that's the biggest thing is test out and you'll figure out kind of what works for you.
You would suggest testing out before hiring if you're not sure.
Or see what works, obviously you're going to see their portfolios. You're going to see what works, what they do well. But research and even if it's just in the beginning, I'm saying kind of test it out, see what works.
And don't give anybody free rein on in the beginning. Say here's my passwords. Have at it. You want to make sure that they understand you, they understand your brand story and your message and how you want to present yourself, because they're going to be speaking as you. So you need to make sure they can represent you the way that you want to be seen.
Yes.
We are potentially going to run over a little on time. Is that okay with both of you?
Yep.
Okay. Then we'll get to a few more questions because we have some good ones in here. Saw a question that was about how can you be alerted to something trending? How is that even defined?
So trending hashtags or different viral videos, things like that. I think Twitter sets up alerts where you can have it actually tell you. Yeah. But just go on and check and see what's going on. You don't have to be the first one on the trend. Mm-hmm. You can, be in there, but just make sure that if you want to be trendy, you have to be ready to hop to it and create, but use the platforms, so you'll see kind of what's going on the more that you use it and the more that you engage with people who are like you and who you want to target. So part of getting the message out to people is also listening to them. So go on there, engage, interact, and start following people that you respect and want to be like, and you'll start to be part of the trends as they go.
How do you get your website to the top of a Google search? We all would like to know this question.
That goes back into SEO and SEM. So search engine optimization, that is the organic way to do it, where you really have to think about how people are finding you. Like, what are they going to type in to get to you? And then you want to include those phrases. So if someone's typing in, you know, sneakers, you want to make sure it says sneakers in your site. Mm-hmm. So there's that way to do it. And there's the paid way, which is, you know, running the search ads and bidding on keywords. So if you know that people find you by typing in a specific phrase, then you want to make sure you're putting your money toward bidding on that phrase because it'll bring you up.
Yeah. Yep. It's exactly that. It's SEO. You know, I will say, like, with SEO, you just don't want it to be so obvious. Like, some people, you know, we don't want to be like just putting in like, or, you know, high end cutting boards 10 times at the bottom. You know, you still want to be authentic. And you get those SEOs organically through blog content, through listing your services, through, like Sam said, words. A really great tool that we use just to kind of give you like a very basic understanding of some keywords, it's called WordStream. It's a free SEO keyword thing, and it basically tells you like this is how much this, like, you can bid on this, and like we use it for general, like, these are the good keywords people are searching for. If I type in artist and entrepreneur, it's like, okay, these are what else people are searching for. So it gives you a good idea of, like, all right, this is like either, hey, I'm like thinking the right way, or like we need to like rethink this keyword strategy.
I have someone who asked, you know, how much would a keyword cost?
I mean, that differs depending on what you're doing. I mean, if you're going, say you're putting something on Amazon and you're going to try to bid for the keyword Amazon, that's going to cost you $1 million. Like, so you have to think about your budget and what it's worth to you, really, to spend that type of money. Like, if you're selling products that don't cost that much and you're putting all your money into this one keyword, it's probably not going to be fruitful for you. So you have to really kind of consider a lot of different moving parts when it comes to bidding.
And it depends on the person, but you will not be bidding on keywords when you're first starting out. This is I'm, you know, well into my organic traffic. I have maybe a social ad or two up and I'm going to start bidding on some keywords. The really great thing with spending money on Google, on Facebook, you can set a cap, so they're never going to go over what you say, this is how much I want to spend a day, or this is what my budget is, which when you're first learning social media marketing was nice to hear.
I think one of the last questions, so we're not too far over. In terms of how many followers on Instagram is a good or effective number? Similar question in terms of Instagram follower ratios. How much does it matter? I have a few more questions, but we'll start with those.
Yeah, so when I first started out, I always thought, okay, I need a ton of followers and that's all that matters. But that's really not what matters. It's the quality of the followers that you have. One of my clients, we only have about 300 followers, but every time we post something, we get leads and sales. So it doesn't really matter if you have 300 or 3 million. Mm-hmm. It matters who those people are. And then ratio, are you talking about like following to followers, or are you talking about like engagement rates? Because that's the different thing too. Like, I don't like when I see somebody who has 100,000 followers and they're only following 3 people. I'm probably not going to follow you back. So you want to kind of keep that a little bit even. And then in terms of engagement rates, you know, that's how you're going to know if your followers are quality. So if you have, you know, 100,000 followers, but you're only getting 3 likes, you need to target different people.
I'd agree. Like, I mean, Instagram, you know, and they're constantly changing, but like they do unlock some features once you get 10,000 followers, which is like good. It's nice to have, but I think that's just their way of upping their product. I'd agree 100% with Sam. It's like the why, you know, I don't think the number matters. Like, that's not what people are looking for. They're looking at the photos. They're looking at who's engaging, who's being authentic. And it just goes back to, you know, being an authentic brand. Yes, more followers are great because it means you're getting more content in front of it. But also with followers, hopefully everyone knows this, don't buy followers. You know, you see that a lot. Like, we get DMs like, you know, we'll get you 10,000 followers. I'm like, delete. Don't do it.
So on that note, you know, how would you recommend getting followers? We talked a lot about, like, having a solid process and keeping it as part of your business model. What are some of the strategies that you've seen being successful in getting those quality followers?
So you can do paid ads if you're already there. So you can actually run ads specifically to gain followers. Facebook will help you break down the different the goals that you have. So you can do, like, I want clicks to my website, I want likes on certain pages or posts, or I want new followers. So that is one way to do it. But really the way to get, like, the ones that are going to stick with you is to just be out there and be networking and actually connect with people and talk to them, and then use the platform to do the same thing. You know, if you see an artist that you like, comment like, oh my God, I love your stuff, and start to, like, talk to people and build relationships. And you can do that with brands and with other people. Like, you really can do it organically just through talking to people. And it takes a little bit more time to do it that way because, you know, it's a very individualized basis. But those are the people that are going to stick with you because they've spoken with you, they know you.
So almost like a good following is a reflection of also good networking.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also applying that same plan to your offline marketing. A lot of our makers go to, like, craft fairs. It's like, well, do you have your Instagram handle, like, on a little handout? So making sure it's on, like, your print, making sure it's on your, like, your takeaways, making sure it's, you know, maybe you want it on your website, maybe you don't, because if they're on your website, it's like, well, I don't really want to push them to my social media, but maybe that's a good idea to, like, have that, but maybe not your, the biggest feature. But yeah, just make sure you're telling people that you have an Instagram and what it is on everything and whoever will listen.
And if you're able to, you can at craft fairs do things like, you know, if you follow us and post, you get a discount on your next purchase or something like that. Like, there's incentivized ways to get people to follow you too. But you obviously you have to look into if you're able to really offer the discounts and everything like that. So you don't want to be hitting, you know, shrinking your margins just because you're trying to get more followers, because what are the followers really doing for you? So that's another thing you have to keep in mind if you're going to try to incentivize that way.
Yeah.
And the same thing if you're doing paid. Sorry.
Right. And again, just remember, like, your goal is to get your brand out there and to get them to buy stuff. So, you know, sometimes I know it's really easy to get, like, into the weeds of, like, making sure you have the perfect post or, like, you know, that kind of thing, or doing paid ads. But just remember, like, what you're, take a step back. As you, if you were an artist or a maker, like, take a step back and look at your social media, your website, and making sure it's, okay, is this still answering my mission statement? It's, you know, whether you're just starting out or you're years into your business, always take a, remember to take a step back and who are you? What's my goal? What's my mission?
One of the I said that was the last question, but I think there's one more that's important to cover. And honestly, I think this could be an entire webinar in itself, is how do you go about creating content? I have some questions in here about people wanting to appeal to a younger audience or a specific niche audience. You know, where are you pulling inspiration from in order to develop the content? How do you know if it should be in the personal category versus the business category?
It's always tough, you know, like you want to stay on brand, you want to stay creative, you want to keep things interesting. So it is always going to be a little bit difficult, but look at, like, who you are. And it's the same thing with the brand story. So, you know, when you sit down and you figure out what you're trying to get across and what you're, vibes are, always just keep doing things that reinforce that. So if you want to create a feel of something that is local and, you know, familiar, then you want to do videos of you working with people and in the shop and things like that. Like, it really goes back to defining that and figuring out who you are and who you want to be on social.
And also research, like, look at your favorite, like, look at the Instagram accounts, look at the social media accounts that, like, you really like, and figure out, like, okay, why do I like this? Is it because, like, the photo is really cool, or is it because, like, I somehow resonate with it and like start to kind of like, you know, pick apart like the accounts that you really like and honestly copy them. Like, you know, don't like find that place and like set up your product like on that table. But like you'll realize like inevitably then your own voice ends up coming out. Yeah. And just, you know, especially when you're first starting out, experiment, like see what works for you. I think all the makers and creatives can agree the first piece they ever made and then years later looking back on that was not the best piece they ever made. It's the same thing with a social media post, with a piece of content. You know, and if you are like putting those personal pieces, like pieces of you in there, be a little vulnerable, be a little bit uncomfortable. After you've done it a few times, you realize I really enjoy doing this, or I really like people seeing me with this. And then that authenticity really comes out.
It's all good information, and this potentially may be a future webinar topic, because I think there's a lot we can say about this. But thank you so much for both of your time. Sorry to keep you a little bit long. I know we had a lot of questions in the Q&A. Thank you, everyone who asked questions today. I mentioned this before. We are going to be sending out the recording of this with a little bit of a summary of what we talked about today. So we mentioned a bunch of different platforms. We're going to try and link them all in that follow-up email so you can get that information to get moving on this topic. And I guess last question for Sam and Rebecca, if someone wants to connect with you, what is the best way to go about that?
Yeah, so I actually have my website up, badtownllc.com. If you go there, you can submit through email. I have a couple of forms. Just send me an email and I can reach out to you and we can start to chat.
Great.
Yeah, and you can, you know, shameless plug for NextFab, but you can find nextfab.com. Come join us. Come be a member. Right now, you know, we're pretty excited. We're announcing it today, but we're going to be reopening our two Philadelphia locations June 28th, only to members, unfortunately, right now. But we do have a membership wait list. We can also link that in the email. So if you are interested in being a member at NextFab, you can hop on the wait list and you guys get first priority once we're able to open up to members. And since it is social media, make sure to follow NextFab. It's at NextFab_PHL, at NextFab_DE for our Delaware residents. And come follow us. Even though I said we don't really need that much followers, it'd be great still to follow us.
And as a NextFab member, all the NextFab members out there, you can actually ask for consultations between me or Rebecca. And we'd be happy to sit down with you. And I do sales and Rebecca does social media and marketing. So we'd be happy to do that as well. Again, thank you everyone for joining. This is our last in this series. We are going to be launching a new series in the coming weeks. So when you get that follow-up email, feel free to respond to it saying what topics you liked, what topics you didn't like, or I would really love something specifically on search engine optimization or content development. Please give us that feedback because we're going to be starting to put that together very soon. And thank you for joining us. Have a good day.
Bye, thank you.
Bye, thanks, guys.
Bye.